This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. The Internet of Things was once considered a technology only Fortune 500 companies could afford. Fast forward to today, small businesses around the world are tapping into IoT and new startups are springing up with new innovative IoT solutions. And today I'm speaking to Keith Fenner. He's the Chief Sales Officer for Sage X3 and also the Executive Director and the Head of Sage Middle East to talk about IoT for small and medium-sized businesses. And we'll later on talk about the future of ERP systems as well. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, before we start, though, we got to talk a bit about Sage. It's not a household name company. So, you know, what is the core business products and, you know, what sort of offerings do you have here in Malaysia?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. I think it's one thing we're working on, let's put it that way. So Sage is a FTSE 100 company, many years old, maybe 30 years old, about $8 billion in market cap. So significant business globally. We grew through acquisitions. So we tended to buy a lot of products. Here you'll know UBS, you'll know ACPAC, which is now called Sage 300. And we really deal, or personally I deal with Sage X3, which is a global product aimed at mid and enterprise business. And then we have Sage One, which is a entry-level SOHO cloud-only kind of I guess you could almost call it an ERP. I mean, everything these days, small businesses still need stock. They need to invoice. They need to do finance. So, you know, it's a very comprehensive system, Sage One, and we're just starting to launch that in Malaysia now as well.
The ERP industry itself, is it big here in Malaysia?
It is. And, you know, we're just we're playing games at the moment. I guess we've dropped ERP from our product names. We believe it's expense, regret, and pain. So we're moving very much more to where we're going to talk about in a minute is the Internet of Things. We need agile software. We need cloud. We need mobile first. That's what customers are looking for. They don't really look to see what a GL does anymore. Or it's an assumption that if you're charging that for your software and that's your market position, you know, you're going to have the feature sets. So we focus on other things these days, hence hashtag no ERP.
So now we know that the Internet of Things is currently the buzzword, right, in the industry, and it's about connecting things to the internet, and it gives us valuable data that we can use. Previously, it's only done by large organizations, the one that, you know, have the funds to, you know, do something like this. But now it's shifting towards, or it's already shifted to, you know, the smaller, medium-sized businesses and even the startups as well that are doing this. How has this shift, you know, happen and why?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like all things, isn't it? In the old days, you know, your typical tier one ERP systems were connected in different ways to the machines, and it gave them a certain amount of automation. Where you're moving to with IoT is that people are looking for a customer experience and personalization and all of those things. And to do that, real time is the key, and real time can only be done via the sensors that are connecting the machines to the world via the internet. And I mean, the internet will disappear in 5 years because it will be the world. That's the reality. And certainly, you know, when you look at the cost base, the sensors, the RFID devices that are required to do IoT are becoming very much more cost effective. Like you said just now, you've got startups coming all over the place. I live in Cape Town, wonderful place. It's like a mini Silicon Valley there as well. I mean, it's low cost labor. You've got a lot of good engineers, good technicians, building software. And then you look at where the evolution is in places like manufacturing plants, and you look at them and they're saying, well, you know, the stuff is 10, 20 years old. It's time to reinvest in the machinery. So why not at the same time start to consider taking the advantage of IoT? So it's definitely at a cost point that makes sense. Just now I was at the CFO forum and I had the pleasure of doing the panel with one of the guys from Glaxo. And we talked IoT, and you know, he was talking all about his plant and how they've actually disconnected from the pure internet. Because R&D is a risk. You know, you can't put all the R&D devices over the internet, but they're still using IoT concepts, albeit, you know, they've almost progressed again. So it leaves the space for us in the mid-market and small enterprise to now come in and start offering these benefits to our customers.
Any examples of how IoT is being implemented in organizations, especially the small SMEs that you've, you know, witnessed?
Yeah, I mean, implemented and vision are two things, right? You know, we've done a show and we did one the other day where we did a demo. So we used the Microsoft HoloLens, and the advert you would have seen is where the lady is basically changing the motorbike. And we conceptually work that through to a configurator that changes a bill of material in the system, that does the revision control, the engineering control, just by this lady making changes to the physical device, or the image of the physical mm-hmm. device that then drove the change in the system. So we've done that a lot. I think the most common right now for us is typically around logistics and heavy machinery. So changing from GPS tracking, which has been done for a long, long time, to sensor-based technology. So you're not bringing the truck in or whatever, or the vehicle, the yellow metal in mining, whatever it might be. You're not bringing it in on the schedule. You're bringing it in when the sensor's telling you live, real-time information. And that brings a huge cost saving when you come back to stock, job control, et cetera, et cetera. So we see that. And then certainly in manufacturing, we've started to see those sensors start to replace people, is the truth. Machine to machine is a reality. The sensors are at a good price. So the RFID, where the product is almost driving, well, it is physically driving the process, and the systems behind it are kind of catching up as it goes, rather than the old-fashioned way where the system would say, this is what you're going to do now. So, yeah, it's definitely happening, and I think manufacturing is going to be the first place we'll see it in Malaysia.
Mm. What's the benefit, or what's the value that IoT brings to an organization?
Yeah, it depends on your industry, right? So personalization, to me, you know, if you look at it, you can actually have your customer defining the product. And you can deliver that product without a massive cost base increase, because the sensors are delivering it from live, from the information collected from the customer. And this is real time through to the delivery, change in the configuration. So, you know, you can actually do deliver a much better customer experience by using IoT. So, yes, there's a better customer side. And then the flip side, of course, is the cost side. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can drive a very, very strong cost saving argument, but this assumes you have the right infrastructure in place to allow that to happen. And that is the technologies you've chosen for the rest of your business.
I'm speaking to Keith Fennell. He's the Chief Sales Officer for Sage X3. And we are talking about IoT. In just a moment, we'll talk about the future of ERP systems. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu. And I'm speaking to Keith Fennell. He's the Chief Sales Officer for Sage X3 and also the Executive Director and Head of Sage Middle East. And we're talking about IoT and how it works for small and medium-sized businesses. And earlier on, you spoke about, you know, the manufacturing industry. And let's talk about, there's a lot of benefits that we, you know, always mention when we talk about IoT or any new technology for that matter. But what about the risk involved in IoT? What's the one blind spot that, you know, organizations are always, you know, screaming about IoT, this is very good, this is great, but, you know, fail to look at when, you know, implementing such, you know, new technologies?
Yeah, I think there's two, actually. The first one's clean data, right? Because the whole concept behind IoT must deliver real-time value. Whether you want to get that information on your phone to make decisions, whatever that is, that's the expectation today of having those connected devices, connected workforce, connected customer base, connected suppliers, right? So if the data is not clean, remember, you're exposing your data to the outside world and you're basing decisions on that. So that's a huge challenge. I wouldn't say a risk, because I believe in any good project, these things are discovered and delivered as part of that sort of process. And then the other side, of course, is cybersecurity. A huge topic. So for me, you're connecting devices to the internet. Right there. I mean, let's just think about that.
Anything that's connected to the internet is, you know, it's vulnerable as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you do this, you've got to think that this project is not a simple one of just connecting sensors. We have to look at the standards. And if you're a listed entity, you've got a whole controls framework to start thinking about. So it has to become part of that, which is why I truly believe that you see that the CEO tends to be driving the result, which is, I want real-time data. I want it clean. I want to make decisions. And then they're saying to CFOs, almost they're morphing their jobs now to be partly CIOs, and they're working with the CIOs. They're working with human resources for change management. They're having to get that whole collaboration at the C-level working to get IoT in, and all Industry 4.0, which, as you know, is the connection of IoT to people, to processes. And that is, it's not a small task for any business.
Mm. Well, and what's the requirements in any organization if they are looking at IoT? I mean, is there any questions that they should ask themselves first before, you know, moving into IoT?
I think definitely. First thing you should look at is you know, what are your systems that are already in place? Are they built for the internet? Are they built for this digital revolution? Mm. Are they built for that? Are they cloud natively? Are they mobile natively? Because the reality is, that's the base point. You can't connect a modern philosophy and process to a legacy system. You're going to have middleware, and then that defeats the whole object of IoT and the speed with which you can do things. So you've got to look at your processes, and you've got to look at your systems currently in place.
I mean, when you talk about security, is there like an international framework or policy that companies can look at and try to follow and adopt, or is IoT still something fairly new that it doesn't have like an international guideline?
I'm not sure, but I don't think it does, because I think it's too loose and too free, and it's almost the responsibility of the companies to make sure the control framework is in place. And so certainly I've not read anything that there's any international standard. As a PLC ourselves, I mean, we have an IT control framework, and that involves everything from BYOD through to what will become IoT for us as well.
So let's talk about where does Sage then come in with the IoT offerings then?
Yeah, I mean, certainly we invested a lot of money about 4 or 5 years ago in the Sage X3 product, and we rewrote a lot of it to deliver an HTML5, which for what of course us in tech will know is really the internet today. It's the Facebook, the LinkedIn, the Twitter, all works on this technology. We also used a few other technologies we seeded into the framework of the product to grow for the future. So we can run on any device, any mobile platform, any browser. And at the same time, we can now live start doing real-time information changes with IoT devices. So, we've put the base in for the technology. We think, and I believe truly, we're ahead of the curve for our market. We're very excited about doing this in Malaysia. And now we need to go and get some customers and start putting this into practice, because we've got the base right now.
And for some companies, I think, their understanding is, IoT generates a lot of data and that data is great. But, what is your understanding in terms of using that data? Is that the key in terms of IoT? I mean, generating data is just probably part of it. But, what do you use with the data? That's probably the key.
Yeah, it's what you do with it and where you send it, right? So data, as I say, has got to be clean. It's got to be accurate. Are we now sharing this with our supply chain? I mean, that is crucial if you start putting it through to procure to play supply chain. Also, when you push it up to your customers, it's got to be clean. Now, what are you doing to run those analytics? Because you're going to run analytics internally and you're going to run analytics out for your customers. And what is the technologies you're using there? Because data gets big, as you say, when you start collecting all this information. I mean, I look at us. We do a few in-product surveys with our customers, and suddenly you've got a wealth of data. And if one of those customers is indicating an unhappiness in a score, how fast are you going to react to that problem? And those are the sort of things you have to think about. The data will be big. I mean, I read now that the airlines are tracking how you sit on a plane, how long it takes you, because the longer they're on the ground, the more they pay. So the faster they can get you in your seat and the seatbelt on and we're off is where they're going to save money. And that's all. They're using IoT sensors to do that. And they're using, I mean, imagine how big that data is.
And moving to Sage X3, which is one of, I think, the product that you're really championing, and you have IoT implications within the system as well. Talk to me about how does it work then? I mean, what's the future for ERP systems?
Well, like I said, we're hashtag no ERP. So, the ERP side for us it's a legacy term. And people these days are not buying software based on the functionality of modules. They should be buying it on how is this going to help me with my IT strategy for the next 3, 5, and 10 years? Is it on the right platform? Is it going to enable me to use IoT to be part of this industrial revolution 4.0, as we call it, and help us drive those efficiencies in the business and the customer experience? And if we get that right, the X3 platform allows for those connectivity points, as it were. So we've built the web technology for that very reason. Because if you go for web, we hope we don't get caught out on technology moving forward. I mean, I always use the joke, 2008, someone turned up with an iPad and asked me why the system couldn't work on it. Well, we didn't even know the iPad was coming. At least now we're working with web technologies, the very latest on the curve, and therefore we can start to plug in these new technologies, new philosophies, new processes that are really going to be there. I mean, 3 to 5 years, smart homes are going to be a reality. There's no question.
What's changed then? I mean, is it because it's now easier for you to, implement new or, to update new stuff and to push out and to roll out new softwares?
Yeah, I think when I say easy, we've done the hard work, so we can be much more agile in our development now, so we can move with the trends very quickly. And I think having a very open architecture, I mean, we'll run on Linux, we'll run on Unix, we'll run on Windows, we're pure web, pure mobile, any device. That's how you've got to be today. That's what your customer wants. You've got a touch generation. They don't understand. They come to work and you put them in front of an old legacy system, they're actually going to struggle to do their job because they just don't understand how to navigate those systems. They work on a touch generation. They want to work on their smart devices. They want to work on the train. They want to stay at home and do their work. That's the reality of the generation. So if you're not delivering that natively and giving that sort of user experience, as we call it, then you're going to have a problem with staff retention as well. They'll just move to somewhere where they can understand the philosophy of the software and how to use it.
Mm. And for those companies who are probably listening in and, you know, thinking that, you know, they are running on still on legacy ERP systems and, you know, listening to this and wondering, you know, what's the additional benefit that they get from Sage X3, what is it that you can tell?
Yeah, listen, I think when you look at the software itself, I mean, yes, it's a highly functional finance, distribution, manufacturing service system. I mean, that's what you would expect from it. Process, discrete, quality control. You know, it does all of the things that you tick. And the difference is, of course, that we built a mobile framework inside the software. So not only can you deliver apps, you can build them yourself inside the ERP and deliver them to run online, offline, across any device. Now, that just opens up a whole world of possibilities. We've thought about it. You can synchronize, you can wipe, you can update. You know, we've thought about that framework in a lot, and we didn't do that as an ERP vendor, trust me. We had to get people in from a different industry to start rethinking and helping us reimagine what people would expect to use from their software. So, yes, you can integrate to systems, you can customize, you can develop, but we've given a framework that is incredibly powerful for this modern digital age. There's no question.
It sounds like it's bundled in with like a mobile device management as well, like, together with it.
Exactly, exactly. Right. We try and put all the pieces in that a customer needs in one solution, and then it's much faster to deploy. Mm. That's the game.
Any industries that you're looking to capture here in Malaysia?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, everyone sort of talks about the manufacturing here. But big distribution businesses are good. Mm. Manufacturing businesses, we're not really picky. We're good in a lot of verticals. So, our challenge and our mission right now is to empower our partners to be able to deliver the solutions that we talk about. We've been hugely successful with the product across Africa and Middle East. And now, I guess, my attention is focused firmly across Asia, and Malaysia and Singapore are the two key regions for us.
Any similarities between like the Middle East and South Africa, and you're coming here and having presence here in Malaysia? Any similarities in terms of mindsets?
I think there's huge similarities. I mean, every time we travel in Africa or we travel in the Middle East or we travel in Asia, we actually understand. And certainly, you know, if you live in North America, you're not used to these challenges. You're not used to different languages, different legislations, different cultures. And that's what we're very used to. And I think Sage is very good at that. We've always worked with a comprehensive partner channel in Asia for the last cheapest 30 years, probably. So we've got good people on the ground that understand the local business. The local customers enjoy the fact that they've got local partners to talk to. And we're there to say, well, we're providing that technology. We're enabling you and we're supporting you as a global organization. And I think the mix works very nicely.
All right. I've been speaking to Keith Fenner. He's the Chief Sales Officer for Sage X3. And we're talking about IoT and also the future of ERP system. Hashtag no ERP. That's going to be the new thing now. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.